Hello and welcome to Coffee with Mike. I am Mike Vini, and I want to tell you a little something about me. I had a lot of emotional and mental health challenges growing up, and this manifested in the form of behavior problems. I didn't know how to control my emotions. They would just overtake me. They really would. And I would always say it to someone like this, where like, if someone pinches you, you know, you go, ouch. Not that someone should be pinching you without your consent, but someone pinches you, you go, ouch. But if you pinched me, I would feel like my body is burning for days. So little things would trigger me. I would get really emotional, didn't know how to navigate my emotions. And it's been a challenge I've had even as an adult too, in my life. And when I was younger in particular, this affected my relationships with other people. It really did, because I didn't know how to navigate my emotions and relationships. And to be honest with you, it made it hard to be aware of other people's emotions and how I came off in relationships. And as a student, I don't know, I did okay in school, but I always felt a bit inferior. And the thing that really changed my life was music. Really changed my life, helped me learn to channel my emotions in a more healthier way, I guess. And nowadays, I can manage my emotions. I can't control them, but I can manage them. And I'm proud to say that I have great relationships. And this is something that I'm constantly working on, both my emotions and relationships all the time. I'm not perfect at it. Sometimes I fail miserably at it. And I didn't really understand the importance of this until I read the book, Emotional Intelligence, Why It Can Matter More Than IQ by Daniel Goleman. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. And I realized that my emotional challenges might actually be a gift. Emotional intelligence is being smart about feelings, both yours and other people's, so you can handle relationships, stress, and challenges more effectively. That's all it is. And the topic of emotional intelligence is especially important right now because the world is experiencing heightened levels of stress, uncertainty, and polarization, both in the workplace and in everyday life. And here are three reasons like why you need to really listen to what I'm going to be talking about today. Well, first of all, workplace stress is at an all-time high. With burnout, remote work challenges, and organizational change, leaders and employees need emotional intelligence to manage emotions, navigate conflict, and foster psychological safety. And we have a whole episode on psychological safety. Artificial intelligence and automation are increasing the value of human skills. So we thought that they were going to take away the value, they're increasing it. So as machines handle more technical tasks, empathy, self-awareness, and social connection are becoming key differentiators in leadership and collaboration. And number three, social and cultural tensions require deeper understanding. We live in a divided world, in case you have not been living in the world lately. And whether in conversations about identity, justice, or inclusion, emotional intelligence helps people listen without defensiveness, respond with empathy, and build bridges across differences. So today we're going to learn more about what emotional intelligence is. Like, what does it really mean? And the data behind why it's essential. So this is not just my opinion. And how you can start taking steps to improve your relationship with emotional intelligence today. That's what we're going to be talking about. Emotional intelligence counts for 58% of performance in all job types, and 90% of top performers score high in emotional intelligence. And this comes from Talent Smart. This underscores that emotional intelligence isn't just this soft skill that we think people need to work on. It's a core driver of success, especially in leadership, teamwork, and in high stakes situations. And in today's volatile, high pressure environments, understanding and managing emotions often separates good from great. So listen to the end because it will make you a more emotionally intelligent leader, which is so important, and therefore a more powerful leader. So let's talk about this emotional intelligence thing. So when we use the term IQ, which is a term that we use when we talk about intelligence, IQ stands for intelligent quotient. And it tells you how well someone solves problems and learns new things. But remember, IQ is just one type of intelligence. It doesn't measure creativity, empathy, or how well you handle emotions. That's where this thing called emotional intelligence comes in. In a well-known longitudinal study of college graduates, researchers found that the students with the highest GPAs were not the most successful later in life. Instead, the individuals who achieved the most tremendous success in their careers and personal lives were those with the strongest social and emotional skills. Interesting, right? This study and others like it from institutions such as Carnegie Mellon and Stanford reinforce a very powerful truth. While intelligence and academic achievement open doors, emotional intelligence determines how far you go once you're in the room. I love that. And I want to share with you something that's quite personal and come up a few times lately. So I have friends and colleagues who, I'm just going to say, I've noticed over the years lack emotional intelligence. And, you know, everyone's strong in certain things. It's not attacking their character. And one of the reasons I know is because some of them are very smart people. Actually, some of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, but they're lacking relationships. They don't have relationships, networks, and they struggle in conflict with people. And this is something that I noticed that, you know, is a trend actually, that there are people I know who have invested so much in their IQ, being smart, knowing things, but struggle like you wouldn't believe because they don't have real relationships. They don't have networks. They don't have groups of friends to really sit and hang out with. And it makes it hard when they struggle with conflict. So this is why they're, you know, in the position that they're in because of emotional intelligence. And, you know, I'm going to even share this episode with some of them lovingly if they want to listen to it. I mean, I share a lot of things with them, so maybe they'll listen. One of the reasons this podcast is named Coffee with Mike is because I built my career on coffee. Let me explain. I didn't have relationships when I started out my career. I didn't have, you know, people who knew who I was, who could connect me with things, but I knew it was important. So at the time, I remember I didn't have a lot of money to go to conferences and networking and all this stuff. So I would ask people to go out to coffee with me. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't looking to get something out of the relationship, just connect. And what was pretty amazing is I would do 3 coffee appointments a week for 20 minutes each at the minimum. After 6 months, I had people who would not leave me alone about inviting me to things, hanging out, inviting me to professional events. And I built some great relationships off of that. So that's why I named this podcast Coffee with Mike. So we're building a relationship as you're listening or watching. And when it comes to emotional intelligence, I didn't realize I was developing it, but I've learned a few things since then. So TalentSmart, the source that I mentioned before, which I'll leave a link to in the show notes, people with high emotional intelligence earn an average of $29,000 more annually than those with lower emotional intelligence. Every point increase in emotional intelligence adds to your earning potential. So if you work on new skills around this, you're working on increasing your revenue. It's that simple. Organizations with emotionally intelligent leadership experience higher employee engagement, retention, and profitability. This comes from Harvard Business Review. And leaders who manage emotions effectively inspire trust and drive performance. So if you are a leader and you're listening, it's so important to work on this stuff. Low emotional intelligence contributes to workplace conflict, burnout, and a toxic culture. Minor misunderstandings often spiral into larger interpersonal issues when emotional awareness and emotional intelligence is lacking. Now, here's the most important thing to know. This is gold, what I'm about to share with you. Emotional intelligence can be improved with practice. Unlike IQ, emotional intelligence isn't fixed. Training in areas like self-awareness, empathy, and self-regulation can lead to measurable gains. So it's important to understand that if you're listening and thinking, whoa, I might struggle in this area, or I know someone who does, there's hope. There's hope for everyone here. And it's something I'm constantly practicing myself. So how do you measure it and how do you start improving it? Well, there are many different ways to go about measuring it. The worst way is to just simply reflect and think that you're emotionally intelligent. I've actually asked this question to different friends and colleagues, like, do you think you're emotionally intelligent? And if so, how do you know? And most people, you know, will say, well, yeah, of course I am. We all think we are. But it's important to measure things. In life, you manage what you measure, and it's important to have reliable measurement, not just your opinion. My personal opinion of assessment is, if I ask someone if they're emotionally intelligent and they say, no, I'm working at it, chances are that's an indicator that they are emotionally intelligent. That's just my opinion. I don't know if that's a real assessment, but it's important to have a concrete way to do that. And one way to do that is to take a validated emotional intelligence assessment. And I will link to some in the show notes. In the meantime, you can ask yourself a few questions and rate yourself on a scale from 1, which is rarely, and 5, which is almost always. So rate yourself between 1 and 5, 1 being rarely, 5 being almost always. And I'm just going to say a few things. I recognize my emotions as they happen. How do you rate yourself? Is that 1 rarely or 5 almost always? I stay calm and think clearly under pressure. I'm able to resolve conflicts without escalation. People feel heard and understood when they talk to me. I reflect on feedback without getting defensive. So if you consistently score 4s and 5s, you're likely high in emotional intelligence. If you're lower, that's a signal to focus your growth in those areas. So how do we grow? Here are 5 things that you can do to start improving your emotional intelligence. And let me just say this, as I'm sipping my tea over here, this stuff, by the way, is really good. It's not good in flavor. It just feels good on the throat here. So, and again, my apologies about my voice not being at its best, but I really wanted to make sure I recorded this episode. And truthfully, I needed to record it because it's something that I'm trying to work on. When I took the assessment that I just shared with you, well, I don't know. You know, I was like averaging 3, I guess. So yeah, I guess there's certain things that I'm good in and certain things that need some work. So this stuff is here to help me to grow in my emotional intelligence. So 1, practice self-awareness. What does this mean? Spend a few minutes each day reflecting on your feelings and why. Journaling or mindfulness apps can help you recognize emotional patterns. One of the things that I often have in, I think, a few episodes, I talk about checking in with your feelings by asking yourself 3 questions. 1, what am I feeling? 2, where is it located in my body? And 3, what do I need right now? When I ask myself, what am I feeling? Or if you ask yourself now, what are you feeling? You might not know the answer, but that's okay. The awareness of just asking the question starts to get you more self-aware. Where is it located in my body? The book, The Body Keeps the Score, by Bessel van der Kolk, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, talks about how we store emotions in our body, learning to locate where you're feeling an emotion. So important, even if you're feeling joy, okay, I'm feeling joy. Where are you feeling that in your body? You might be feeling it in your stomach or your shoulders or something like that. So this can really, really help you recognize patterns and understand yourself better. 2, pause before reacting. I need to say that one again to myself. Pause before reacting. Emotional intelligence starts with control. Learning to take a deep breath before responding in a situation is so important, especially in situations that you're very triggered in or stressed. I will be honest with you. It's been on my mind that I have some family stuff that is very triggering for me. Certain people in the family, being around them just triggers anger in me, defensiveness, and I spiral. And, you know, for years I would blame them, and to an extent I could blame them, but it's also about me and my response to them. So I have had to learn that I need to get better at responding to them. They're going to be themselves. I need to respond better. And that's something that's very difficult for me. So one of the ways I practice this is by visualizing it, visualizing scenarios where I will maybe feel cornered or triggered by them, and I practice responding. And hopefully when I see them, I will have good news on a future episode that I can share with you. So those are some things that you can do right there. We have, again, number one, practice self-awareness. Number two, pause before reacting. These are just two things right there that can help you. Number three, listen to understand, not just to reply. And this comes from the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey. One of the habits, I think it's habit number 4, I could be wrong, is seek first to understand, then be understood. Oftentimes when we're listening to someone, we're listening with the intent on replying. And you can always tell because the moment the person stops, you might have a response. So it's about practicing giving people your full attention. Reflect what you hear to show empathy and ensure clarity. And this helps the person just feel more heard and loved. So it's a beautiful skill to develop. Number 4, ask for feedback. Invite trusted friends or coworkers to share how your emotions and communication affect others. This takes humility, but it accelerates growth. Sometimes I ask people I work with, how do I come off? How do I come off when communicating? Was I clear in delegating? I can ask you, how am I coming off in this podcast? Actually, I'd love for you to leave a review and let me know. Let me know your honest feelings because I will definitely take everything into consideration. I'm not expecting you to say all nice stuff, though. The 5-star ratings and good reviews do help, but I'm not expecting that. I'm working towards that. That's what I'll say. See, that's me practicing emotional intelligence. And number 5, build empathy like a muscle. Practice stepping into other people's shoes, especially those who think or feel differently than you. Try to name the emotions they might be experiencing. So, you know, the thing about this is I, like all of us, struggle with different things. And one area that I got to really practice this in was the 2024 United States presidential election. I had people who did not view who should be president the same way I did. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say which side I'm on or who I voted for. But at the same time, I have many friends and people I love who just see the world different from me. So one of the things that I really tried to do as it was leading up to the election was make it a point to imagine their perspective, even if I didn't agree, even if fundamentally I thought they were wrong or misinformed. I really made it a point to do that. And you know, that just helped me understand them better. It's a beautiful thing to do. It's not easy, especially in the divided world that we live in. So let me just review those points for you because they're really, really important to do. You can start working on them now. Practice self-awareness. Start reflecting on your feelings by doing that and getting clear. Pause before reacting. This takes a lot of practice. Listen to understand, not just to reply. And give people your full attention. Ask for feedback. Ask for feedback. Don't give yourself feedback and assume. Ask for feedback. And build empathy like a muscle. It's something that you have to constantly practice. These are things that you can do to really help you build emotional intelligence. And I want to ask you a question. Based on all of this, where can you improve your emotional intelligence journey? Based on all of the stuff that you've heard or watched, again, please leave me a review, leave the podcast a review. These reviews get the podcast to more people. And again, your feedback is important because it helps me with my emotional intelligence and will give me areas for improvement. So if you have not subscribed, I invite you to subscribe, whether you're watching this on video or listening to it. Share it with anyone who might find it useful. Remember that emotional intelligence is being smart about feelings, both yours and other people's, so you can handle relationships, stress, and challenges more effectively. That's it. Emotional intelligence accounts for 58% of performance in all job types, and 90% of top performers score high in emotional intelligence. And finally, emotional intelligence can be improved with practice. Thank you so much for spending some time with me, taking the time to listen and watch this if you're watching it, or just reflecting on it, even reflecting on what I'm saying here. It's important stuff. It's so needed right now in the world. Coming up, we have an episode on purpose-driven leadership, finding your why and inspiring others. And this will offer you insights on how discovering and aligning with personal and organizational purpose can enhance your impact with leadership. So super important stuff. Thank you for getting coffee with me, and let's get coffee again sometime. Be well.